Page 64.
And the answer to that on page 64 is Ein kamocha be'elim Adonai ve'ein kamasecha Malchutcha malchut kol olamim u'mimsheltecha bechol dor v'dor Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imloch le'olam ba'ed Adonai oz le'amo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo ba'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace.
Ki mitzion tetzei Torah,
Udavar Adonai, mi Yerushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Baruch Shenatan Torah, Torah, Le'amo Yisrael, B'Kedushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen.
Page 66. Ya'amod.
Ya'amod, Asher ben Zedekiah. Are we ready yet? Not ready. Baruch et Adonai Hamora.
Baruch Adonai
Hamrachilam Vahed. Baruch Adonai Hamrachilam Vahed. Baruch Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Hamim Benatan Lanu Et Torato. Baruch Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen.
Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Maybe see.
Yes, okay. Today's Torah portion, Genesis, starting in Genesis chapter 18, it's Vayera, and it means, and he appeared. You know, last week we talked a lot about from the Torah that the Lord spoke to Avram, and he later became Abraham, and you know, he asked him to do some hard things. He asked him to leave his family, his homeland, leave his father's house, and go to a better life with God. So Abraham was, you know, when he left, you have to look at the faith of Abraham. He was looking forward to a city that God was building, and it was not going to be built actually by human hands. That's what he was really looking for, whose foundations, the architecture, and the builder is God in heaven. The only after the journey did God appear to Abraham and give him the land of Israel, and also it was an inheritance to all of his ancestors. And that inheritance is still today, because we know that what God sets, what God says, that is the way it's going to be, and it doesn't move at all from what God says. You know, Abraham, he walked in faith, and his faith saw the hand of God. He saw God move in his life. You know, believing is a principle that you have to understand, that to believe, you must have an understanding of something, and the belief and that understanding is what creates our walk of faith. You earn faith by believing and understanding what God and what the redemption plan is all about. And so today we see this parashah continues to reflect God's plan for future events for Abraham and for his descendants also. You know, I think if you looked at this parashah today and you read it, you would see that, you know, it was by the hand, it was actually, I think you could say it was the gospel according to Moses, because after all, he's the one that was involved in penning this. And you know, as you come forward in reading that, you'll see that, you know, Abraham had some thoughts there when God was saying that his descendants, because at this particular time, you know, Abraham and Sarah, she was barren. They didn't have a son. But we see, you know, God tells him as part of this covenant that he was to go through a circumcision of the flesh. And so the setting is they're in the desert. It's in the heat of the day, and it's been 3 days since Abraham, who was 99 years old, had been circumcised. Now, this was before modern medicine, okay? You know, if you cut your finger, okay, it's not modern medicine here. And he sees in the distance, you know, this particular era of time, you would not be traveling in the desert around 1 p.m. I mean, you know, there's mirages and the skeletons, because it's not a good time to travel in the desert. But he sees three people in the distance walking toward him. And, you know, and God appears with him and the visitors, and he finds out he accommodates them. I often wonder when the visitors got there, was Abraham healed? Because I feel he was in the presence of God. If God touched him and removed that pain of the circumcision from his body, the scripture doesn't say that. That's just my thought of pondering, wonder what that was like when he encountered them. But, you know, as the story, as the scripture goes, God tells him, Abraham, that he's going to destroy a city called Sodom and Gomorrah. It's actually on the plains of there in Israel. And Abraham, he begs for mercy because you see his nephew, Lot, and his wife and daughters are living there in Sodom and Gomorrah. The reason they chose Sodom and Gomorrah because that was a land that was very fertile. It was very plush. It had a lot of wealth to it. So that's why Lot went that way when they split up coming back from Egypt. And if you remember the story, the angels, Lot and his wife and children leave, but the city is destroyed. And later on we find out that Lot's daughters bear children that become that are known as Moab and also Ammon. And while this scripture goes on, we find out that God also tells Abraham and Sarah that they're going to bear a son a year later. Now, Sarah's womb is barren, and Abraham is 99 years old. So they're past what you would say would be childbearing ages. But we know from God all things are possible. And so he tells them, you're going to have a son. You're going to name him Isaac. And so Sarah has a chuckle because of her age, you know. She thinks, wow, God can do it, but I'm not sure. You know, I've had doubts too that God can do things. But you see, if you look back at circumcision, just to reflect back on it, you see it reflects actually Yeshua, because I think it's telling us that you see Yeshua and the Word of God. Because if you believe in Yeshua, God has to perform a surgery actually on our hearts, on our souls, because a lot of us over the years have developed very hard hearts. We have, I want to say, a callus over our hearts. And God, the Brit Milah of the flesh, is actually referencing, I believe, the spiritual circumcision that believers must go through when God has to peel back that hardening of our hearts, of our souls, because without removing that, it would be very difficult if you're a believer for God to put the blood of Yeshua upon your heart. So you have to peel back that old stuff and get it out of the way and to receive the blood. And when you receive the blood, that tells us, that circumcision tells us that it is eternal life in Yeshua. That's what it's all about. And you see, we can't follow. You see, Lot's wife, they said, God said, don't look back, but she did. She looked back. And it tells us a great implication this morning that we, if we're believers, we should not look back. Because when you look back, you're going to fall down. You're going to fall, because when you're looking back, whether you know it or not, you have, as she did, we can use her as an example that speaks a volume to us. When you look back, then there is some desire, maybe an enticement to go back to that life. Because we know sin, there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. And then comes the complications that sin brings. And so at the age of 100, we see Isaac is born. God fulfills what he said, because you have to remember the covenant, and that seed would pass to Isaac to make that covenant continue on. And so at the age of 137 years old, we see that God speaks to Isaac, and he speaks to Abraham, and he wants him to take his son and sacrifice him. And, you know, he takes him to the place that Yeshua later will come, that will happen. Thank you. And they journey. It's a 3-day journey to Mount Moriah. And that is exactly the same place that Yeshua many years later will also make that journey. And Isaac carries the altar, the wood with him that's going to be for the sacrifice. And so they travel the 3 days. And it's the binding of Isaac, the Akedah, the binding. It's the shadow of Yeshua, exactly what it's about. And it represents the future and ultimate sacrifice that God himself would provide, because we know that God spared Abraham's hand at the last second, and he provided an intercessor. He provided a ram for Isaac, and years later he would provide his own son as that sacrifice, who would be on that altar. You see, and that was the difference between Abraham, the son Isaac, and the Heavenly Father's son Yeshua, is because God had his son that was the perfect example, the perfect sacrifice that made salvation available to all that will believe. That's the only way that God can accept sin, is through the death and resurrection of Yeshua and our faith and acceptance of that. And the ram was the sacrifice, the substitute for Isaac, and Yeshua was our substitute for us. You see, Abraham, through and with Isaac being born, that represents the greater seed that was going to come from Abraham that was yet to come. And that, of course, that ultimate seed was Yeshua, that we've talked about at the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve are cast out. You see, Yeshua is the only one who can remove the curse of the law. It's through him that we are saved. Okay, one more microphone. Okay. It's only through Yeshua that the curse is removed. A lot of people say, well, there's no law, but the scripture says that he removed the curse of the law. You know, what God's word's still on the Torah, and it's still on what your Bibles that you carry. God, the Yeshua removed the curse. He didn't remove God's word. He didn't destroy God's word. He removed the curse because he took it upon himself that you and I would not have to endure the curse. And what was the curse? It's death. That was the curse of the law. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And God said, if you know, the ultimate death, it's going to be death. Okay? The second death, which is going to be at the judgment. God's love for us is an act of sacrifice. You know, I went in 1 Corinthians 13 says, seeks not its own. I went and did, just to sort of close your this morning, if you know, the Hebrew word for love is ahava, and if you go to the root word, you'll find that it is hava. Now, hava is a little different than ahava, because ahava is love that we have between each other, married couples, children, families, and relatives. But God has ahava, which is fidelity, and that means there is no other. So that's what God's telling you. His love is hava. It means there is no other love for him but you. I think that's very important today. And just to close, you see, the crucifixion with Yeshua was the altar where justice, love, grace, and the Heavenly Father all met. Shabbat shalom.
Moshe, Lifnei B'nai Yisrael, Al Pi Adonai, B'ya Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Oh,
to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Amen. Please be seated.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Just a couple announcements as we continue our worship today. Just want to praise God for our coming together. We have a few, is this Brenda? Barnett, right? I want to welcome Brenda with us. And she's been a long time supporter and friend of the ministry and the congregation. So I want to thank you for coming today. You live in Kingsport, is that right?
No, I live near Irwin.
Irwin, okay. Yeah. Well, maybe at some point we can figure out someone to pick you up. But it's great to have Brenda with us and just make her feel welcome. We've got Thanksgiving dinner today, so stay. Please, everyone, stay for a little dinner. And it's good to have Wendell and Maria back. And Maria was in the Holy Land. And this is a season for visiting Israel. I'm thinking Christy is there again.
She's going back.
Okay. So, but she's returned from Israel too, and then she's going back again. And we are leaving next weekend on Saturday. So, yay! Hallelujah! And it is, as Rabbi said, it's a homecoming for us. We've been many times, but it's been 5 years since we last went. And following our last tour, Rabbi Joe began to suffer some real health issues, and it really prevented us from doing a lot of things, including travel. So we are so thankful that the Lord has healed him, amen, and strengthened him, and kept our family going, and kept our congregation going. We thank you for all your support, and we encourage people to come out and to support your local Messianic congregation, whether you're Jewish or Gentile. We welcome everyone, and we do have Jewish people that come here and find it a haven, a place where they can worship at in the tradition of their Jewishness. And we also welcome Gentiles to come and to be a part of Israel, amen, and to work together to build up this prophetic end times work of the Lord. And you're so privileged to have a place here in Bristol that we can do that, amen. Hallelujah. So, God remembered little Bristol, Tennessee. It's just like that verse that says, how little are the clans of Benjamin. Rabbi, Bethlehem, you quote it better than I do.
Oh, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. Out from you will go one who will come forth, whose days are from everlasting.
Amen. And that was the town of the Messiah. Amen. Bethlehem came from Yeshua came from his family came from a very small town. Amen. So, hallelujah. Okay, we just have a few things besides a wonderful dinner this afternoon. So stay and enjoy. We will not be having our membership class. I think we have quite a few people missing anyway. So we will continue that after we turn from Israel, and so just stay tuned on the membership class. All right. I have flyers downstairs, and I need to bring them up on the main table there. But as you go out to the fellowship hall, there's a table downstairs. Right, there's a little bulletin board with all the things that are going on. I try to keep all the little newsletters and things that are coming in from places that we support. We support Ed and Kathy Bowers, who are coming to minister while we're gone. We also support Kokeb Gedamu, who is in Israel. He's a rabbi. He's got a congregation. He's reaching out to many Ethiopians there. So we support him. And we also want to keep in touch with our brothers and sisters in the MJAA. The Messianic Jewish Alliance of America. And so the next event for that is in Florida, Southeast Regional, December 16th to 18th. And you can get a flyer. It's down. There's a bunch of flyers on the table right below the bulletin board. So, you know, read what's going on. Read about Kokeb and some of the different ministries I try to stay in touch with. There's many beautiful ministries around the world. And there's one other thing. The latest Messianic Times has come out. And they keep posted about all the different things that are going on in the Messianic community. And I hope that you'll consider either subscribing to the paper, or you can go online to messianic.com, messianictimes.com, and sign up for their online subscription. And so you'll see all the things going on in the Messianic community from that newspaper. And Rabbi Tokajer, he's just a wonderful man, and his wife, they really work hard to keep us informed and about what's going on. So December 16th to 18th, this weekend in Orlando, if anyone's interested, it's going to be a great time to get together with the community, and we encourage you to do so. Not sure yet if our plans include that personally, because we will maybe need to go to Boston to visit Joe's mother, who is not doing well. And we had not been able to see her during the summer, so we will need to make a trip to Boston. So please keep Harriet Bell in your prayers. Amen. Also, following that, we'll have Hanukkah. This year, Hanukkah is the week of December 24th to the 31st. And so we will be announcing when our special service, Hanukkah service, will be. So just keep stay tuned for that. And then the Beth Zion Women's Retreat is coming up January 27th to 29th. And I am on the list of speakers, so I'd like to take a couple ladies with me. Please talk to me afterwards if you're interested. And I do need to make a reservation for a room, so I'm going to do that before we leave this week. I'm going to make a reservation. The theme is Celebrate Yeshua, Psalm 118, and Matthew 21. And it's a wonderful weekend. I really encourage ladies to consider prayer about going with me. Okay? There's also a couple of these downstairs on the table. All right? That's all I have, and I'll turn it over to the rabbi.
Well, this is Thanksgiving week coming up, and we give thanks all the time. But Don and I have special cause to give thanks to the Lord, for He has brought us up from the pit, out of the miry clay. He has set us free. Amen. I no longer have the. We love the shop, but I no longer have the burden of it on my shoulders. We love the food, we love the place, but it's no longer in my possession, and I no longer have the worry or concern. I no longer have to take trips and get calls in the middle of the night, and phone alarm companies and all that stuff. And what some of you don't know is not only have I been working there since June, 30, 40 hours a week in the shop, but which has taken a toll on me physically, but at night we've had meetings and meetings and meetings with prospective buyers that would last 3 or 4 hours from 6 to 9, 30 or 10, and we'd come home exhausted. And we had, and then three of those particular people that we met with, the deals fell through. And finally, the fourth one was, it worked. And I've been through so many, actually been trying to to sell for 9 years, and off and on for 9 or 10 years, I remember getting down on my knees and begging God to take it from me a good 10, 11 years ago. And it's been very hard on my family. It's been very hard. I know the boys love it, but it's been very hard on us and our family life. And now I can devote myself to full-time ministry. And after I get some rest and healing, I'm going to, you know, throw myself into the ministry more. And we're entering a new season.
Amen.
So, Lord, we give you thanks.
Amen.
We give you thanks for setting us free. His time is not our time. His ways are not our ways. And if I had it my way, it would have been years ago, but he chose yesterday morning at 9 a.m. So, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. He answered our prayers. Can I just share about that?
Yeah.
He answered our prayers.
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for our short term. All of you who we've kept, you know, who've been praying for this with us, praying, you know, alongside us and standing with us. This has been a battle. This has been a fight. And to get free, the enemy did not want us to be free. And we're taking a hit. We're stepping out in faith. To do this, we're stepping out in faith. We're giving up. The bagel shop was about 1/4 to 1/3 of the tithe of this ministry annually. It donated about $30,000 to $35,000 a year to this ministry, and you know, so we're taking a hit. But God can make up that hit with one or two or three or four people. I mean, he can do it, make it up. In fact, I'm just going to tell you one thing. Last week, it was, you know, here I am planning to unload it, and the tithe that came in was $700 last week, and $250 of it was from me. And that was discouraging to me, because I said, I had said to everybody when I took up the tithes that we're $1,700 short this month, and then $700 came in, and $250 of it was for me. I was a little discouraged, but not too discouraged. And I came home, and then I talked to the bookkeeper this week, and I said, how was the deposit this week? And she said, oh, it was great. She said, all this money came in the mail, and people on the internet gave, and all these donations came in. It was over $3,000, maybe $3,000, $4,000. I was like,
thank you, Lord.
You know, and she said, and the week before that was 7,000.
Thank you, Lord.
So, you know, God provides. And I just want to tell you one little story, one other quick story. I'll turn it over to Don. A man called me up, a dear friend called me up, an older gentleman who's a businessman and a very prominent man in the community. And he called me up, just wanted to get together and have coffee. He said he had something for me, and I went to have coffee with him, and he gave me $1,000. Yeah. And, you know, and the Lord told me that's your spending money in Israel, you know. And that's what we're going to talk about today is when we do what God's word says, God does back. Amen. When we do the word, when we're doers of the word, not just hearers, mm-hmm. God does back. Amen. We're going to talk about that. So I'm going to turn it over to Dawn. Let her say what's on her heart.
Amen. I was just going to say, you know, God heard our prayers. You know, we've been through so many contracts that have up to the brink of signing, and then everything's fell through time after time after time. And so we really were down to the wire of just, we were going to trust God and sell the equipment and just get rid of everything. But that was not our heart. Our heart was to give this bagel shop, this thing that is so precious, not just to us, but it's precious to the community and precious to our, you know, family and to you. You know, we love having the bagels. We love having a place to go that's you know, it's just become, it's a special place. Our congregation met there. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is in that place. Amen? And so it was a bittersweet process, thinking, you know, asking God to take it and to who to give this into the hands of. But one of the deals that fell through, I was so discouraged about it, and the Lord told me while we were in the process of it, signing this paper, because we sold the building first, and by selling the building, it was going to make it a little more difficult to sell the business, and I knew that. And it felt like that God was, that we were just going to sacrifice the business. And the Lord said to me, you know, I want you to put this business on the altar like Abraham put Isaac on the altar. And I said, okay. So I said, he said, I can provide a ram for you. So we signed the papers and we sold the building. And sure enough, it became even more difficult to talk to people about the business. But before that, I was walked out of that building. I was very discouraged. I got in the car and I turned on the radio. And as soon as as I'm driving around town, a lot of times I'll be listening to, teachings, Bible teachings, and things like that. So I had it tuned to a Bible, you know, the Christian teaching station. And I turned it on, and as soon as I turned on the radio, the pastor was talking about the story of Abraham bringing Isaac up and sacrificing, and that God was going to provide a lamb. I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you. I guess this is you. So we continue to pray, and we had some sessions with intercessors down at the bagel shop, and there was just a real sense of faith that God was going to do something special for us. But still, we had two or three deals that just seemed to get up to the brink and fall through and get up to the brink and fall through again. So we had people just praying and praying and praying. And finally, you know, we thought, okay, that's it. We've got a lease till this day, and we started taking pictures of everything. We're going to put it on the internet and sell it. And Joe got a complaint call from someone, customer service situation, and she was telling him about it, and he said, okay, we'll take care of that, no problem, we're sorry. And he went through the whole thing, and then she says, by the way, I heard that the bagel shop is for sale. And he said, well, for a price, it's not on the market, but anything is for a price. So, make a long story short, this couple it was the easiest couple that we'd ever, that was just like butter. We talked to them, they're like, yes, we want it. We asked for a deposit. Oh, no problem. We asked for another deposit. Okay. We said, well, we need to leave next week and we need you to buy it before we leave. Okay. And so we signed the papers. And the wonderful thing, so, you know, it was the last minute, the last second of the last day, and God came through just like Isaac on the altar. And guess what our portion today is about? Isaac being sacrificed on the altar. So I think it all came through beautifully. It was God's way. Amen? Hallelujah. And the other beautiful thing about this, before Joe jumps in on me, he's getting ready, is that we are jumping. Going to have this couple is so excited about providing keeping it the bagel shop, and they're believers,
customers,
and their customers are just faithful customers and excited about, just they just love our business just the way it is. So there may be some changes, but I just want to encourage you to go and support the bagel shop. We're going to continue to buy our bagels. We're continue to have bagels for Oneg. And please pray for this couple, Brenda and Mark Borsch, and pray for them and their success. Yeah. Amen?
They are a lovely couple. We couldn't have, you know, when you're selling your baby, you don't want to just give it to anybody. And God sent a lovely couple. He's a cardiologist, and his wife is a local gal, grew up on a farm, and knows how to work. And they're just wonderful people. They're gonna take it to the next level, and they're excited. I've never seen the doctor was so excited. He's outside taking pictures of the front of the shop yesterday, and showing his friends. And they're just jumping around. They're like kids, so we're really thrilled about the people that bought it, and it's going to continue. To be honest with you, our lease was up, and the lease they were going to give us, the landlord was going to give us, we could not have paid. We would have had to shut down and liquidate. It would have been a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. It would be like having to go online and sell every one of these pews, and every piece of furniture that you see in this place and in the building is what we would have had to done with the bagel shop, you know, to liquidate it. And now we don't have to do that. We just have to get our file cabinets and our computers and personal effects out of there, and clean up a few details, and that's it. Mm. You know, so
hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hodu Ladonai Kitov. So we're entering a new season with Thanksgiving.
Straighten out that banner over there, please. As you.
We are going to receive our offering today. So let's pray and ask the Lord what He would have you to give. If folks watching at home, if you'd like to support the ministry, you can do that online or through the mail. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Messianic ministry of the Mountain Empire. Hallelujah. Your local connection to Israel.
Yes.
Here in the Mountain Empire. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, Lord. You say when we bring our tithes into your house, there will be bread in the house. When we bring the whole tithe in, you say, well, there will be bread in my house. And test me in this, you say, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. And I will rebuke the devourer for you, is your promise to us, Lord. So bless the gift and bless the giver. Bless them 100-fold as they bring forth their gifts and those who bring forth their offerings. And let's remember the basket for the, if you have spare change for the needy in Israel, and the building fund is there too, that we're working on to build up so we can do some projects. May God bless you as you give. In Yeshua's name.
I was glad when they said to me, come to the house of the Lord, standing here in your gates again, up to Jerusalem.
I was glad when they said to me,
come to the
Lord,
send me.
Yeah. Poor sinner.
Hallelujah. Lord, we give you thanks. In every situation, he's good. Amen. Like Abraham about to lift the knife, as Anthony was talking about, and he was had the knife lifted, and just the last minute he was about to put it through his son, and God said, stop. Amen. Stop. And he provided the ram. And that's the way God is with us. Amen. At the last minute, if we just hang in, if we don't quit, he's always testing us to see if we're going to quit. That's what it is. That's why he comes at the last minute. He wants to see if we're going to stay faithful. We're not perfect. We're going to be a pathetic mess and a slobbering fool sometimes. But, except Wendell. But the rest of us. And you know, but he always shows up. As long as we stay, as long as we hold on and we don't give up. And we don't quit. He will show up. He'll always show up for us. Amen. Amen. It may take years. Years. You know. But he will show up. And he'll give you your heart's desire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. On the night he was betrayed on Passover, Yeshua took the third cup of the Passover meal and he blessed it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. On that same Passover night, Yeshua took the middle piece of the three layers of bread we call the unity, and that piece is called the afikomen. And it's traditionally given as dessert in traditional Jewish homes. And he took that piece of afikomen and he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, I'm going to ask Madonna, would you like to come and serve today? Okay. And Brenda, would you like to serve? Did you serve last week? Why don't you come with Madonna? And let's just prepare our hearts to come receive the grace at the Lord's table. If you're at home with us and you're watching and you'd like to partake, just get yourself some fruit of the vine or some grape juice and matzah or a cracker or a piece of bread, and you can partake with us as we prepare. Let's prepare our hearts to come, and we thank you, Lord, that this is the gospel, that you sent your Son into the world to die for our sins, that he was crucified and buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. And whoever confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Yeshua is Lord shall be saved. Whoever confesses with their mouth and believes in their heart that Yeshua is Lord will be saved. Jesus. And you know, the Bible says in John, it's either one of the first or second John, he says, if whoever confesses Yeshua is a believer, if we confess him, then we're a believer. If we don't confess him, John says we're not. But who am I to argue with John? Come as you're ready.
To his table. that song.
L'chaim be Yeshua, to life in Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen. Children today?
Ask you to bless us as a congregation, especially bless our children today, Lord, and may they have a great Shabbat school today, Lord. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen.
And Lord, we ask your blessing on those who are not here as well, and for safe travels for those, for Nick and the Matthews family and who are traveling down to Florida. Just pray your traveling mercies for them. Lord, I pray for Buzz and Linda. We just pray for Linda's throat, Lord, that you just dissolve that growth that's in her throat. Thank you that she's able to go to Israel and that you just dissolve that growth and that it's benign, that it's not cancerous. We pray, Lord, and if there's any other, you can just pray right now. If there's any other prayer requests, congregational related prayer requests that you have, just pray them. Who? Sarah, yes, Charlie's daughter Sarah. She had spine surgery, was it? Gallbladder. Oh, sorry. Thank you, Lord, that you heal Sarah, Lord. That she, has she had it, Charlie, or is she going in? It's done. Well, we just pray for an easy healing. And, Lord, that she's able to function well and without without an uneventful recovery, Lord, for Sarah. And somebody had spine surgery.
My daughter, Bridget.
Anthony's yeah. daughter, right. We just pray for her for a good recovery, an uneventful recovery, and a quick recovery for Anthony's daughter, Lord. And we ask your mercies for her, Lord, in the name of Yeshua. Deborah. So there's a man in cancer with brain tumor. Do you know his name? Okay. Do you know him? Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, we just pray for this man that Deborah knows of who's in prison, who has a brain tumor, has had all his belongings stolen, and he is really in great distress right now, but he's seeking your face, God. We pray that you reveal yourself to him and save him. Come to him, Lord, in his hour of need. We pray for your mercy, your healing, your deliverance for him, Lord. I also want to remember Lana, who works in the bagel shop, has been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma and spread throughout her body to different lymph nodes. We just pray for Lana for a miracle, for healing, and for help. She has no insurance, Lord, that you just do a miracle for Lana. Lord, I pray Karen Gaby asked for prayer for a little child, 5 years old, with cancer, going to St. Jude's. We pray for that child for a miracle, Lord, for healing, and that you would find a cure, and you are the cure. Lord, you are the cure, that you heal that little child that Karen spoke of, Lord. Heal a child of cancer. And we pray in Yeshua's name, Tom. Oh, pray for our cat, Tom, who went missing yesterday. And and Tom is a member of our family, and we love him. And we haven't seen him in 24 hours. So, Lord, please bring Tom back, and as Joshua has asked, and bring him home. Lord, if he's in somebody's house, I pray they let him out. And they let Tom out and let him come home. In Yeshua's name, Lord, bring him back.
Lord, and if Tom is stuck in a tree, lead the children, or Rabbi, to the tree and help the cat get down. Help, if that is where he's at, Lord, show us where yes. Tom is at, Lord, in Yeshua's name.
Yes, Lord, amen. And show me where my eyeglasses are and my hot spots. I'm missing two hot spots. And my eyeglasses. Please reveal them to me too. God bless. Yes, Brenda.
I'm just
Lord, we just thank you for reconciliation in Brenda's life with her neighbor. We pray for healing for this woman from the breast cancer. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the tumor, that it wouldn't spread, that you would just obliterate it, dissolve it, and destroy it. We pray, Lord, we thank you that for the reconciliation, Lord, and that reconciliation is the key to freedom and healing and our messianic and Christian walk, that reconciliation and forgiveness are the cornerstone of our love and our life together. Help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us, and help us to be forgiven by those we've trespassed against, Lord, and cleanse us, create in us a new heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in us, Lord. And heal Brenda from the Parkinson's. Take it from her, Lord. Take the shake, and let if you choose to use the medicine, use the medicine. If not, take it yourself, Lord. But heal her of the Parkinson's. We pray in the name of Yeshua, our Messiah. And bless our trip to Israel this week, Lord. Just bless those of us going. Just I pray we're going on the busiest travel day of the year. That everybody gets on the plane and every bag gets on the plane and everybody gets to Newark and everybody gets to Israel. And I pray that everything goes smoothly. Let it be an uneventful trip, Lord. Let us fly through all the crowds and lines. Let us get through security without stress, without problems, and get through all these things, Lord. And help us to get to, Greg's going to help us get down there, and I pray that somebody will drive us back. If you can do the back, you can't do the down. You don't know yet. Okay. Well, we just pray for Greg's Aunt Kitty that you would just be with her, and just we talked about your timing, Lord. Our time is not your time, Lord. So we just pray for whatever Greg's desire is for Aunt Kitty, whether it's for her to stay or whether he releases her to go, that you give him the family, that the need is met, Lord, whether it's to stay and be healed or whether she's wanting to go and the family's blessing her and saying, we bless. It's okay to go, Aunt Kitty. So whatever that the decision they're working out is, Lord, we just pray your timing and that you provide, and also for someone to drive the van to help Aja and us and some of the people get down to Charlotte for the flight next week, Lord, and someone to pick the people up when they come back. Provide that for us, we pray. In Yeshua's name, amen. Yes. Chandler on his knee? What happened to your knee? You don't know? Okay. Well, Lord, we just pray for Chan's knee right now, and that you heal her and take the pain. And Lord, I just thank you that it goes away as mysteriously as it came, Lord, that she just wakes up one day and it's gone, and she doesn't even realize it. She's skipping and jumping and bounding down the stairs and up the stairs and doesn't even feel any pain. Just take that pain from her knee, heal her from her head to her toes, in Yeshua's name, amen, amen.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, children, you're dismissed downstairs, those of you who are in class. And just one little announcement about the children. Chandler on his birthday was last week, is that right?
It was Thursday.
Thursday. And Billy's was
and Billy didn't get any presents.
Or
Billy had a birthday and he says he didn't get any presents.
So anyway, if everyone would please acknowledge Billy and Chandler Anna over at the Own Egg, and we'll probably sing them a song over there, okay? To wish them happy birthdays.
If anybody has any little presents for Billy, I'm sure he wouldn't mind a little present. Come on, we all like presents, right? Amen. I used to like presents, and now I like the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray for the word of the Lord. Father, just thank you for your word, your anointing, your strength. Thank you, Lord. We're going to have a Thanksgiving meal. If you're watching and you live nearby, you want to come about 45 minutes. We're going to have a Thanksgiving meal, and you're welcome to join us. If you're watching and you're not too far away, we got a big spread coming. So stop on by and have some our congregational Thanksgiving meal with us. God, all right. Lord, just bring forth your word now and bind the enemy in Yeshua's name. Anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see, and the teachers as well. Anoint their words of their mouths and the meditations of their heart, and let the children receive the word in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. Well, let's turn to let me get my email open here. Here it goes. Okay, I had to look up on an email that Vicky sent out yesterday to remember the title of my message. And I said, it's when God responds to what you do versus what you pray. When God responds to what you do versus what you pray. Amen? When God responds to what you do. Sometimes, you know, we pray and for things, and just to give you an example, we've been going through an incredible drought lately, and there's been forest fires all over the place, northwestern North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, firefighters coming in from Montana. There have been code red days where the air quality has been code red. And there's been poison chemicals in the air, and people have been going to the, I've seen the ambulances running with people having breathing problems. And, you know, there's been a lack of rain. And God has been very faithful to bless America with rain through most of our history. We've been a nation who's been of abundance. Abundance of natural resources. In fact, you know, in Texas, they just found an oil reserve bigger than that of Saudi Arabia. They just discovered in Texas this week, it was reported, an oil reserve bigger than that of Saudi Arabia, which means that there's so much oil here in the United States, we have no need of Middle Eastern oil. We have no need of Middle Eastern oil anymore. Which is, we're, you know, if our government chooses to be free from that bondage, we will be free. And they found a reserve so big, such a pool of oil so big that it'll bigger than Saudi Arabia. Amazing. But so anyway, I was, this gal on Facebook was asking people to pray for rain, and I said, I was kind of, you know, I said, I quoted Zechariah 14:16, And if you want to turn there, I'll just read it to you. It's talking about in the time of the when the Messiah is on earth, and after Jerusalem is attacked, and Yeshua comes in the millennial reign, and Yeshua comes back to save Israel. And all the nations of the earth have attacked Israel, but there's survivors from every nation. And in verse 16 it says, "Then it will come about that any who are left of all the nations that went against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths." That's Sukkot. We celebrated that a month ago, right? "And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them." There will be no rain on them. So my answer to this gal who said pray for rain was celebrate Sukkot. Celebrate the Feast of Booths. It's not a prayer. It's a do. It's an action. Do something. Celebrate God's feast. And he doesn't just say celebrate. He says go up to Jerusalem. Hang out with the Messianic Jews. Not just the Jewish people. Hang out with the Messianic Jews, the believing Jews. Why? Who are the Jews going to be in Israel in that day? They're going to be Messianic. If Yeshua is going to be the Messiah and the King, any Jew is going to be there is going to be a Messianic Jew. So God's not saying just go to a synagogue and celebrate Sukkot. He's saying go to hang out with the Messianic Jews, celebrate Sukkot, and I'll rain on you. Amen? And you'll have no lack for water. Now, that doesn't mean you may celebrate Sukkot like we did, and God promises water. And Yeshua said in John 7:37, he said, if any man, alluding to this very verse, if any man thirsts, let him come to me. He said it at the Feast of Sukkot. If any man thirsts, let him come to me, and out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. And he was talking about the spirit, you know. But he was using the backdrop of the Feast of Rain, which is Sukkot. And the Jewish people celebrate Sukkot, and they pray for rain in this season. So, you know, it's a twofold thing. It's not just pray for rain, it's also celebrate Sukkot. Amen? Keep Sukkot, and keep it with the Messianic Jews. In other words, God's not saying for Christians, keep it by yourselves. He's not saying keep it with traditional Jews. He's saying keep it with the believing Jews, and I'll rain on you. That's the key. That's the recipe. And so that's what I posted on Facebook, and she was some people were intrigued by it. And so it made me realize that God responds often to what we do, not just to what we pray. Now, to bring grace into it, some people will pray for rain, not knowing that God's recipe for rain is to celebrate Sukkot. Sukkot falls at the beginning of the rainy season, at the end of the dry season, at the beginning of the just before the rainy season. That's why they celebrate it. It's the end of the harvest season and before the rainy season. Why are they praying? As if they don't get rain in Israel in the desert over the next 3 months or so, 3 or 4 months, if they don't get abundant rain, you know what happens? They have no crops. Then they have famine and drought and they struggle and they have to import things and they have to desalinate water from the ocean. And it creates great hardship for them, so they pray for rain at Sukkot, and they celebrate Sukkot. So it's a twofold thing. But for the unknowing person who doesn't know that God promises rain when you celebrate Sukkot, for the Christian who has no clue about Zechariah 14:16, God has grace. If you pray fervently, the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So if you're clueless about celebrating Sukkot, Christian friends, God will show you anyway. He'll bring somebody along to invite you to Sukkot, or some Jew, Messianic Jew will come into your life, or some super Jewish Gentile will come into your life and teach you about Sukkot. And he'll pour out his grace, and he'll reveal to you because you prayed. So prayer is good. I'm not saying God, you know, is prayer bad? God forbid. No. Prayer is great. Prayer is the key to the kingdom. But a lot of times it's not what we pray, it's what we do. Amen. And James wrote, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. James 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving. If you just hear the word but don't do the word, you're deceiving yourself. I have met so many Christians living in poverty, living, they claim to be Christians, but they live, you know, they say they're going to heaven, but they live like hell. They sleep around. They don't go to church. They don't read their Bible. They don't study. They don't pray. But yet they think they call themselves Christians. I've met so many of them around here. Thousands. I'd say thousands of people that call themselves Christian. They sleep around. They don't read their Bible. They don't go to church. They steal. They break the commandments, and they live like hell. And not all of them. I mean, there's a lot of people that I've met. I how do I know? I've been an employer in this area for many years, and I've also been a rabbi, so I've seen it both ways. I've had people come to congregation doing pornography, and on their computer they go home and do pornography for months, and I'll give them a season of grace to get over it. But after a while, if they, you know, rabbi, I'm struggling with pornography. Okay, how you doing it? On my computer. Okay, we'll go up to the roof of your house, take that computer up there and throw it off until it smashes to pieces, and don't get another one, because that computer's going to take you to hell. And I'll say this to him, and I'll say it to him, and months will go by, and finally one day God will say to me, okay, it's time for them to go. They're not listening. They're not hearing your word, and they're defiling my house. My house is holy. And so they have God will give them a season of grace, but after that, it's time to go. And I've had to put people out of the congregation for pornography and other things, and other things. But anyway, so God says, be doers of the word and not only hearers, deceiving yourselves. If you just hear the word and don't act on it, you know, Jeremiah 11:6 says, proclaim all these words in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the word of this covenant and do them. Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Amen. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord but do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord but do not do what I say? A lot of people at work would call me rabbi through the years. I say, I'm not your rabbi. If I'm your rabbi, you do what I say. But you don't. Romans 2:13, for it is not the hearers of the law or the Torah who are righteous before God, but it is the doers of the Torah who will be declared righteous. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God. By the way, today's Torah portion, Deuteronomy 18, especially for our Christian friends watching, Deuteronomy 18:15 says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your country. Men, you shall listen. In other words, he shall raise up a prophet like Moses. God's saying to the people, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. This is Moses talking. From among you, from your countrymen, you shall listen to him. This is according to all that you asked the Lord your God in Horeb on the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God. Let me not see the great fire anymore, or I will die. The Lord said to me, they have spoken well. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you, Moses, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. It shall come about that whoever will not listen to my words, which he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. Hallelujah. I will require, when God raises up that prophet was Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, was the prophet like Moses that God raised up. That doesn't mean there aren't other prophets that God is raising up, but the great prophet that God is going to, was going to prophesying right here was Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. And he says, they must listen to him. The gate is wide that leads to damnation, but the gate is narrow that leads to eternal life. And there are few that find it, but many will go through the wide gate and perish and go into the lake of fire. So don't be one of those. Find the narrow gate. So, by the way, so what am I saying here? Moses is a prophet. So for all you New Testament only friends out there watching, did you know that the first five books of the Bible are prophecy? That the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, they are prophecy. And they, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that we should take heed and admonition from the words of Moses so that the things that befell the children of Israel don't befall us. In other words, read Moses, because his words have to do with you upon whom the ends of the age have come, it says in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, take heed, admonition, warning, and obey, follow the teachings of Moses, because so that you upon whom the ends of the age have come, the same things that happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness do not happen to you. So therefore, we teach Torah, and that's why Anthony teaches every week, and I teach too. But we always make sure that we teach some of Moses, because Moses is a prophet. And you can't understand Revelation, and you can't understand Matthew 24, and you can't understand Luke 21, and you can't understand Mark 13, you can't understand end time prophecy, you can't understand Daniel if you don't understand Moses. If you don't understand the prophecies of Moses, in Matthew 24 it says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. If you don't understand the story of Noah, you're not going to know the prophecy of Noah. You're not going to understand what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 24. Capiche? Amen. That's Tennessee for get it? All right. So, hallelujah. So last week we talked about Abraham, and Anthony mentioned today that Abraham, you know, God asked him, but before I get to that, about the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, the Akedah, and Genesis 22, which is in today's portion, we talked about Abraham, and it's funny because I was wondering, Lord, why did you pick yesterday to sell the shop? Why did you pick yesterday? And that's because Don was saying, God, you know, that God had given her a word, he was going to provide a ram. And wouldn't you know, this is the week of that Torah portion, would be this week. And I was wondering why yesterday. What does it have to do with, you know, it wasn't 14 years to the day that we bought the shop. I couldn't figure out what there was special about it. And it had to do with the Torah portion. Amen? So last week we talked about Abraham. The first thing God said to him was, Lech Lecha. Everybody say Lech Lecha. In the Jewish Bible it says, get going. God said to Abraham, Lech Lecha, get going. What did Abraham do? He got going. He just packed up his bags and he took off for the promised land. You know, packed up his family. God said, don't bring any of your relatives. Abraham blew it. He brought Lot. But he still, for the most part, was obedient to God. He did what God said. He didn't pray about it. Doesn't say that. He just did it. Sometimes God, it's not praying. It's in the doing. You know, and sometimes believing God is doing. It says that in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 15, it says Abraham believed God and God credited to him his righteousness. His act of doing was believing. So sometimes we just have to believe God. Amen. God told me, I haven't been feeling good. I ask for your prayers. I'm told I need a biopsy on my head. I can't bleed. I was told 2 weeks ago I don't have enough platelets to clot my blood. I've been having tooth trouble. God forbid, I couldn't have a tooth pulled. I don't have enough teeth to eat with anyway. But if I had the tooth pulled, that's the one I need. God forbid, if I needed it pulled, I'd have to have platelets injected into me. I'd have to go to a surgeon. I'm going to Israel in a week. I don't have time for this. And the biopsy is coming. That's coming, if it comes at all, from the dermatologist on my scalp. That's coming in after I get back from Israel. But I still have to have platelets. I don't have enough. My last blood test, my next one's this week. So I ask for your prayers that my platelets go up and my blood counts go up. But it doesn't matter what I see in the natural. God showed me I'm going to Israel. He told me get on that plane and declare it. So I'm going to get on the plane. Not only that, he showed me my seat. Have you noticed United Airlines? Anybody watch TV? Have you noticed United Airlines has these showing their business class seats on TV? They've been having these ads for United Airlines showing business class tickets. Well, I bought a business class ticket. I'd never seen my seat, but I've been seeing it on TV all last 2 weeks. Saying, hey, that's my seat. Looks nice. Can't wait to lie down in it. Wake up in Israel. Praise the Lord. When you're as big as me and you have back issues, that's my reward for taking 25 people to Israel, is a business class ticket. And I'm not ashamed. I couldn't sit in a coach. Wendell couldn't sit in a coach seat. Eddie couldn't sit in a coach seat, and I couldn't sit in a coach seat. Ray might have a hard time too. They're not big enough for big guys. They really aren't. Unless you're 28 years old. Most guys 28 years old aren't as big as we are. Okay. So last week we talked about Abraham. The first thing God said to him was, get going. And he did. God told Noah to build an ark, and he did. God told Noah to bring out two of each kind of animal. And he had a specific thing they said. What was it? Two of the unclean, four of the clean, seven of the clean, two of the unclean. Thank you. Seven of the unclean, seven of the clean, two of the unclean, onto the ark. We determined that the window of the ark was not for light, but for throwing waste out of the ark. And also checking to see when the water is receded. Amen? And also for anyone who got seasick, to be able to watch the horizon so that they could get over their seasickness. Amen? But it didn't light the ark. That little window didn't light the whole ark. It was Yeshua, the light of the world, that lit the ark. Glory to God. As they say in Bluntville, it was the Shekinah of God that lit the ark. The light of the world. Hallelujah. God told Moses to go to Pharaoh. Moses didn't want to go. He was reluctant. He complained to God. God got angry with him. Moses went to Pharaoh. Moses said, I can't speak. God said, I'll send you your brother. He'll speak for you. You'll be like God, and he'll be like a prophet. And you'll be like God to Pharaoh and to the people. That's what I'm making you like. It's what God said. I'll make you like God. And Aaron will be your mouthpiece. And you go to Pharaoh. Moses gave him some back, pushed some pushback, but he went. We don't always go perfectly. We don't always do what God's telling us to do perfectly. But if we do what God tells us to do, then he's going to bless us. Amen? God says, as a man sows, so shall he reap. If you reap love, somebody said they made friends. Brenda made friends. If you sow love, you're going to reap love. If you sow hate, you're going to reap hate. My mother lives in a building with her niece, and there was a fallout in the family 40 years ago, and they still haven't made peace. My mother and the niece, and mostly the niece, has been really mean to my mother and my sister. Crazy to me, too, when I go there. She's wacky. She's angry and bitter, and she's crazy, But she lives in the same building as my mother. And my cousin, one of my cousins lives in the building with them, and two of my siblings hate the cousin. And there's so much hate and backbiting, and I hate this one, and I hate that one, and I'm not talking to this one. And in my family, it's ridiculous. They don't know the Lord. You see? So, anyway, hallelujah. God told Moses to throw his staff on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground. It turned into a serpent. God told Pharaoh to let my people go through Moses, and finally he did. Moses and Aaron didn't give up. How many times did they go to Pharaoh? 5, 6, 7 times. Amen? I kept going to him. Pharaoh, let my people go. No, I won't. Go back to him after a plague. Pharaoh, let my people go. Uh-uh. He hardened his heart. Pharaoh, let my people go. Finally, they kept knocking. They didn't give up. They did what God told them to do. God had a simple request of Moses, and really it was a simple task. Just go to Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. Amen? That's all he had to do. All Jonah had to do was, instead of getting on the boat and running from God, all Jonah had to do was go to Nineveh and tell the people, who the living God was, and they repented. Tell them about their sins, and he was scared. He was horrified. I mean, they were the most brutal people on the planet. He was terrified to go to them. But, I guess I'll go to anybody. I'll go to anybody if God sends me and says, I'll be with you. If God's with you, if God's for me, who can be against me? Amen? So he threw the stick down, turned into a serpent. God told Pharaoh, let my people go, and he finally did. God told Moses to raise up his staff over the sea and divide it. Chapter 14, 16, Moses raised his staff over the sea. Children of Israel were pinned against the sea and the oncoming Egyptians. And they said, well, oh no, you brought us out here to be killed. Oh no, we're all going to die. And God said, now show them my glory. And he raised up his staff and he parted the Red Sea. And then when the Egyptians followed through in through the path in the water, Moses raised his staff again. The waters came together and Pharaoh's chariots and his army sank to the bottom of the sea. Hallelujah. That's prophetic of the end time when the devil is chasing the woman who is Israel. The devil's chasing her. The serpent is chasing her. The dragon is chasing the woman who is Israel in Revelation 12. And it says water protected came between the devil and the woman who is Israel. Water is what God used to protect Israel. Isn't that something? Just like he did in the time of Moses. But you would never know that if you didn't know the prophecies of Moses. Lately, we've been having many forest fires, as I said, and I talked about that, about praying for rain. And if you keep Sukkot, God says it'll rain on you. So I suggested to people, if you're not getting rain, celebrate Sukkot. And I got news for you. Sukkot's coming next month. Did you know that? How many of you knew Sukkot's coming next month? Raise it up high. Well, one person knew Sukkot's coming. Anthony, two people. You know Hanukkah is Sukkot? Hanukkah is Sukkot. You know why they celebrated Sukkot at Hanukkah? Because the Syrians wouldn't let them celebrate when the real Sukkot was. So when the Jews took back their temple and cleaned it, they had a holiday, and it was Sukkot. They celebrated for 8 days. And it was basically, they celebrated Sukkot. And it has become, has morphed into Hanukkah now. But that's really what they were celebrating was the festival, because they wanted to keep the law. They wanted to keep the Torah. They wanted rain. They needed rain. And God gave them the grace, and he let them do it 2 months later. Amen? And so there's another chance. If there's no rain in the next month, the people of this region come celebrate Hanukkah with us, and God will send rain and snow, and he'll fill the cisterns with water, and the ground will bubble up from the earth, and water will come forth, and the lakes will be filled, and the rivers will be filled with water. Come celebrate Hanukkah, because that is Sukkot. Hallelujah. Somebody give the Lord praise. That's grace. That's mercy. You missed it the first time last month. Those who didn't keep Sukkot and are experiencing drought, God's giving you another chance. Praise God. All right. So is prayer of no avail? God forbid. For the person who does not know that they could have had rain by keeping Sukkot, prayer is the key to God leading you to what to do. You pray for rain, and God reveals Sukkot to you. Zechariah 14:16, John 7:37. Let me talk about the tithe, for example. Some of you heard this story, but I when I first bought the bagel shop, I didn't know to tithe. I wasn't making any money. We weren't doing that well 14 years ago. And for several years, we never tithed. We didn't make any money, so we never tithed. Then I went to hear a man give a message on tithing, and I went to hear the man speak. He came to a very famous preacher who was on TBN a lot, Nasser Siddiqui. He preached on tithing. And Don and I always tithed on our income, but I figured I wasn't making any money from the bagel shop, so I have nothing to tithe. So I'd pay the electric bill, I'd pay the gas bill, I'd pay the food bill, I'd pay the light bill, I'd pay the water bill, I'd pay the insurance and the taxes. If I had 2 nickels at the end of the month, I'd give it to God. Business didn't prosper. So I went to this man, and God showed me. He said, you should have been tithing on the business. On every week of sales that came in, you should have been tithing 10% of the gross on the increase of the business. Everything that came in the door, you should have been tithing on. So I've calculated that was over $100,000 in back tithes that I owed God on 4 or 5 years of business. I owed God over $100,000 in tithes. So the man said, but he said something, 1 John 1:4, I think it is, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And he gave an altar call. He said, if you've blown it with your tithe, he said, come to the altar and ask God to forgive you. And Don and I came. We were convicted. We got on our faces on the ground. We wept. And God showed me a blackboard that was clean and just like a kid had just washed it after school. There was no numbers on it. It was wiped away. And God said, I've erased your debt. I have erased your debt, all that $100,000 plus that I owed him in tithes. But he said, this is what I want you to do. Next Monday, when you go into the shop, calculate the sales from the week before, write a check. And I'll tell you, every week that I was writing the checks, when I did the checks for paying the bills, the first check I would write Monday morning when I wrote them, I can't say for the bookkeeper or whoever since then that did took over for me, But I know that was for years, 5, 6, 7 years, that as long as I did it, and went in and wrote the check Monday morning, the first check I wrote was the tithe check. God said to give it to For Zion's Sake Ministries. And that's what I've done since I've been the owner of it, since I got that message. And you know what? God tripled the business. He tripled it. Even more than tripled it. He more than tripled the business. In just a matter of two years, he more than tripled it. God is not mocked, and God is not a liar. God is not a man that he should lie. Turn to Malachi 3. Why am I talking about tithing? Because it's not a prayer. We used to pray, and Madonna, you might have been there years ago when we would pray, Lord, people were losing money, you know, people were complaining, I'm having trouble with my finances. And I remember some, you know, people saying, you know, I feel like I have holes in my pockets and I got to get my tax refund. And then all of a sudden, you know, my car breaks down or my oven broke and I had to get that repaired. And there went my tax refund. And so we were praying, oh, Lord, rebuke the devourer. Oh, Lord, just prosper us. Oh, Lord, send prosperity, rebuke the devourer. And then instead of sending money, God sent me to hear a man of the God. And the man of God said, tithe. So then he showed us the scripture, verse 8, Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you, he says. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. What is his house? What is God's house? The synagogue. Or if you go to a church, the church. God's house is the house of the Lord. Amen? It's not the mission field in Kenya. It's not the orphanage in Haiti. Those are all good things. It's not the children's Christian school in Ecuador. It's not the World Vision Ministry or Jews for Jesus. It's the house of God. So I got a big tithe one time. I sold a house and I got about $9,000 to tithe. I made a profit. When I first moved here, I sold a house in Boston, made a fair, nice profit on it. I had a $9,000 tithe. And I was going to a little church and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't want to give all this money to this little church. That's too much. So I'll just send a couple thousand to this ministry in California that I liked, and I'll give this church $7,000. Okay? So I get to church with my check for $7,000, and my pastor invited me to pray over the altar. He didn't know what I put in the plate. He didn't know I put $7,000 in the plate. He invited me to come up and pray for the offering. So I picked up the plate. I said, Lord, bless this offering 100-fold. And God spoke to me right there. And he said, yep, Joe, I'm going to bless you 100-fold. I'm going to give you $700,000. Don't you wish you put the other $2,500 in the plate? And didn't send it to that mission? He says, this is obedience, guys. Bring the whole tithe into my house so that there may be bread in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you. Now, offerings are another thing. Tithe is our rent to God, okay? Our tithe is our rent to God. He's just testing our obedience to pay rent, okay? Our seed money is above and beyond the tithe. If you want to give, if I want to give, I tithe. If I want to give above and beyond my tithe, I'll send it to a ministry, maybe the Joseph Project. Maybe I'll send it to Ethiopia. Maybe I'll send it to Haiti. There's an orphanage in Haiti. A friend of mine has an orphanage that got flooded with the hurricane that went through. Flooded, wiped out the mattresses of the children and their place where they live. They need help. I'm going to send them some money, you know. But I'm not going to send them my tithe. I'm going to send an offering. Capiche? Okay. So God says here, He says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. You see, God's saying, if you're struggling financially and you don't have any money in your pocket, and anytime you get it, your car breaks down, your roof gets a hole in it, whatever, your clothing, you know, you need to buy some new pants or whatever, you don't have the money, maybe you're not tithing. Maybe you're not giving back to God. David says he's never seen the children of the righteous begging bread. Never. Never saw the children of the righteous begging bread. Amen. So what am I saying? God doesn't say, pray and ask me to rebuke the devourer. Pray that I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. Is that what he says there? Does he say that? Pray that I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing too big to contain. Pray that I'll rebuke the devourer. Is that what he says? Hello? No. He says, do it. He says, do it. It's not a prayer. It's a do. I have to go back to my message. When God responds to what you do versus what you pray. Now, mind you, I prayed with my people, dumb rabbi. I prayed for months. God, rebuke the devourer. God, send prosperity. Help our peoples are struggling. Lord, help us. And God had mercy on us and sent me to a man of God to show me what the word says and that I wasn't doing it. Dumb rabbi. Dumb sheep. Anybody awake today? Good preaching, rabbi. By the way, Leviticus chapter 27, if you turn there. So this is a do. Do you understand that? Tithing is a do, not a prayer. You don't have to pray, God, should I tithe? Where do you tithe? The house of the Lord. So there'll be food in my house. Where is the house of the Lord? It's where God puts you. It's where God feeds you. It's where God nourishes you. It's where God calls you. It's not where God has the best pinball machines. It's not where God has the best donuts and coffee or bagels. It's where God places you. That's the house of the Lord you're supposed to tithe to. Amen? Amen. There's a lot of churches and more churches out there. But turn to Leviticus 27. Here's what happens if you don't tithe. This is funny. 27 verse 30. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If therefore a man wishes to redeem part of his tithe, he shall add to it one-fifth. Okay? So if therefore a man wishes to redeem, that means if you want to go to Disneyland, Disney World, and use your tithe money to go to Disney World, that's fine. God says, you know, it's okay. You can redeem it. You can use your tithe money. You want to use your tithe money to buy holiday presents for your grandkids? Fine. Go for it. God just says you owe 20%. Tack on 20% when you pay me back, he says. That's what he says. Tack on one-fifth. That's 20%. God's charging you 20% interest on your tithe. So it's fine. You want to buy Christmas presents for your kids, Hanukkah presents with your tithe, go for it. Just remember to tack on 20% to God and don't complain to me. He's the one who says it. Amen? You want to use your tithe to go to Cherokee? You want to use your tithe to go to Gatlinburg? You want to use your tithe to go hear Adele in concert? You know, whatever you want to do, fine. Just tack on 20% when you pay God back. Ouch. Anybody say ouch? Ouch. Do that enough, mess with God's tithe enough, you'll owe him 20, tack on 20%. I didn't tithe on the bagel shop for 4 to 5 years. I owed God 20% plus the tithe. I owed him maybe even $200,000. And you know what? He forgave me the whole thing. He forgave everything. And he'll forgive you. If you haven't tithed right to God, and it's not, the reason I'm talking about this is because this is a great example of a do and not a prayer. And the message today is when God responds to what you do versus what you pray. You can't pray, God, what should I put in the basket? That's what I did as a new believer. What I did when I went to the synagogue where God put me as a new believer, I would pray, God, what do you want me to put? And I'd throw my $20 bill in. Okay? Until I learned about tithing. And when I learned about tithing, I started putting my tithe in. But I had to learn. God has grace for new believers, you know. But I've been in the Lord 20 years. I'm not a new believer. I'm a rabbi. God, amazing where he's brought me in 20 years. Whew. I'm an international conference speaker. I spoke at a conference last summer in front of 500 people. I walked out in the hallway and I was telling my boss the other day, hey, you got to listen to my message, because he was all gloating about Trump. I said, you got to listen to the message I preached at the Messiah conference last summer. It talked all about Trump. I preached the message on Trump last July 4th. I said, you should really listen to it because it's all biblical and it tells about Trump. And he was going to, and he says, you know, you had a complaint against you at that message. I said, just read the message. He says, let me look this up. Yeah, there was a lady who complained about you. She said that you were rude to her. You were out in the hallway, she said, after you gave your message, you were out in the hallway talking to people, and you were loud. Well, I got news for you. When you give a message to 500 people, you can expect 20 to follow you out and ask you questions. And you're allowed, as a conference speaker, to go in the hallway. It's polite to leave the room, not stay in the room. Some guys stay in the room. They'll stay in the back of the room and talk to people. I left the room, went out into the foyer, and this lady's out in the foyer trying to listen to the message, and she's griping at me. And I said, ma'am, I am a rabbi, and I'm talking to these people and answering their questions. And she thought I was, well, he's being high and mighty because he thinks he's a rabbi. Well, what if I said, ma'am, I'm a doctor, and these people need attention? Would that be different? If I said, ma'am, these people are sick, and I'm a doctor, and I'm just helping them. Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead, doctor. But I said, oh, ma'am, I'm a rabbi, and I'm answering these people's questions here in the foyer. You know, why don't you just go on in there and listen to the message and close the door? Meanwhile, my boss at the MJA is focusing on this ridiculous side item, you know, sidetrack, and I'm saying, just listen to the message. Forget about the lady. Forget about the complaint. I had 52 good results, 56 positive responses, reviews, and ranked in the top 10% of speakers as far as reviews went at the conference, in spite of the complaint. 56 other people gave good reviews. Praise the Lord. Who cares? Just listen to the message. Okay. Anyway, but you know what? You can't make somebody, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. So, tithing has specific consequences. You don't have to pray about it. You just have to do it. I'm going to tell you about giving too. I have learned, God has taught me about sowing and reaping. And the Bible says this in very early on in Genesis. Anthony probably read this about sowing and reaping. That seed time and harvest will continue. Sowing and reaping will continue after Noah, God says, until the end of the age. seed time and harvest. If you plant a tomato seed, how many tomatoes are you going to get if it grows? 100, 200, 50, 75? How many seeds are going to be in the tomatoes you get? Let's say you get 75 tomatoes out of one seed. How many tomato seeds are you going to get out of those 75 tomatoes? Hundreds of thousands of seeds, right? So if you want, the same principle applies. If you sow a seed, God tells you. Now, don't just make it up. If God says to you, Jacob, God says to you, I want you to sow a seed into that Haitian ministry, the orphanage. If he said that to you, he says, I want you to give and help those people. And he says, I want you to send them $200. God will take that seed that you send, and he'll like plant it, and then he'll multiply it, and he'll give back to you like $5,000, $4,000, $6,000. I mean, exponentially. I've seen God where I've given $1,000. So I say to people, if you want to see God give you back $500, give $100. If you want to see God give back $1,000, give $250. If you want to see God show you what he can do and really give you $5,000 or $10,000, donate $1,000. When God speaks to your heart, when you're in a position, somebody's taking an offering, and God says, I said last week, we're $1,700 short. Somebody stepped up to the plate, not in this room, but somewhere out there in internet land. Somebody stepped up to the plate and helped meet the need. I guarantee you, if one of us had done it, God would have blessed your socks off. I'm not trying to be condemning, but I'm just saying, I've seen it. When I give it, when God says to me, I've seen Bob Solomon get up there and say, "Here's $1,000. I want to see 20 people give $1,000 to this charity that he's talking about." And God speaks to my heart, "Give $1,000." I said, "Give $1,000? You really?" "Yes." "Okay." I write the check, and God blesses my socks off. And all of a sudden, in months, I'll receive checks for $5,000, checks for $10,000 will come my way. And I've seen $10,000, $15,000, $50,000. I've seen $50,000 drop into my lap just for giving $1,000 time and time and time again. If you have a need, sow a seed. If you have a need, sow a seed. If you cry poor, shut the door and sow a seed. If you cry poor, shut the door. Stop doing it. Sow a seed. I don't care. You have $10, sow $10. If you have $20, sow $20. If you have a need, sow a seed. Pay your tithe. And when you're done, if you have 2 nickels left, give it. God, where do you want me to give this? God can take your $2 and multiply it into $2,000, just like planting 2 tomato seeds. He can take your 2 tomato seeds, $2, and multiply that into $2,000. I have seen it. And it's not a prayer. It's a do. It's obedience. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. Thank you, Wendell. Verse 18. Isaiah 1. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. If you consent and obedience. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you're obedient to God and we are doers of the word and not hearers, because hearers only are deceived, right? James 1:22. Doers of the word are blessed. Hearers of the word are deceived. James 1:22. Hearers only. We must be doers of the word as well as hearers. Amen. So, let's all stand up for a minute. I want to give you a chance before I continue. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give you an invitation. I want to tell you a little story. King David, I think you all have good intentions. I think the folks at home have good intentions. I think anybody who comes here has good intentions. If you come here to worship, you have good intentions. We can have the best intentions. And like I said, dumb rabbi, remember I didn't tithe. I'm going to say dumb King David. He went to get the ark. The ark wasn't in Jerusalem. And so he brought some men to get the ark. And they put it on an ox cart. And the ox cart went and tipped. 1 Chronicles 13. And this guy named Uzzah, big guy, he saw the ark about to fall over. He went and grabbed it. God struck him down dead. David got angry at God. And he was all jumping up and down, worshiping, and excited to be bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. And God struck the man down because the ark was going to fall over in 1 Chronicles 13. So they left the ark. It happened to be right near this guy, Obed-Edom. He was a Levite. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 31 tells us that the Levites carried the Ark of the Covenant. Who gets to carry the Ark of the Covenant? Only a Levites. Uzzah wasn't a Levite. God struck him dead. David went back to Jerusalem, left the Ark of the Covenant at Obed-Edom's house for 2 or 3 months. God blessed Obed-Edom, it says. He was a Levite. He was a Levite. They left the Ark at Obed-Edom's house. That'd be cool if you were a Levite and they left the Ark of the Covenant at your house. Hey, honey, look what showed up today. Yeah, don't touch it. Don't touch it. Only let the boys touch it. She could have been a Levite too. But anyway, 2 months later, 3 months later, David figures out, he goes to Jerusalem, figures out what happens. Oh, I needed Levites. Goes back with Levites, gets the ark, and then he's dancing and he's parading into Jerusalem in his underwear and his loincloth. And his wife, Michal, it's in the Bible, read it in 1 Chronicles 15. He's in his loincloth and he's wearing his underwear. And he's dancing. It says, David danced before the Lord in his linen, you know, his undergarments, his Fruit of the Loom. Woo! Yeah, I get excited. And his wife despised him. He was worshiping God with everything he had. And he brought that Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem, and his wife despised him, and God made her barren. And then took her away, and she became somebody else's wife. And she was barren. She despised David. David loved the Lord with all his heart. He messed up. Hallelujah. That's the consequence of disobedience. If we've messed up our tithe, have good intentions, like David had good intentions to bring the ark to Jerusalem, but he didn't do it God's way. Moses built the tabernacle according to the pattern that God showed him on the mountain, and when he finished, They dedicated, and the glory of God fell on the tabernacle. And the glory of God fell in the house, and they couldn't enter it. It was so bright in there with the glory of God in the tabernacle, they couldn't go inside. Because he did it according to the pattern that God showed him on the mountain. But when his two sons, or the two sons of Aaron, came with strange fire, you know, maybe they, you know, God prescribed the incense they were to burn. And these men came with something else. I don't know what they were burning, but whatever it was strange fire. It wasn't part of the prescription. And they died. God struck them down. Amen? So not only should we be doers of the word, we need to understand what God's expecting us to do and how to do it. A lot of Christians have good intentions and they want to do things for God, but they don't know his word. They don't know what God's requirements are. And you can do all sorts of things thinking you're doing it to please God, and you're just doing it for you. And you're just doing whatever it is you're doing it. You're not doing it because God's telling you to do it, or because you're not doing it God's way. You're doing it your way. So if you've blown it, and here's my invitation, if anything's speaking to you today, the tithe, if you've blown it and God's convicting you and you need to repent, I want to just bow our heads for a moment right now. Just close our eyes. And I want to give an altar call. And Jennifer, can you come up and play? I want to give an invitation. And let's just close our eyes and just come forward. Come to the altar. And you just confess to God. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us all unrighteousness. Maybe he called you to the mission field and you disobeyed. Maybe he called you to go move somewhere and you disobeyed. Maybe he called you, maybe you defied him like me in the tithe. You haven't brought your whole tithe into the storehouse. Maybe you've whatever it is, you've tried to do it your way like King David. And God's saying, you need to do it my way, child. You need to do it my way. I love you, and I'll forgive you. I'll erase your sins, but you need to confess them to me. If that's speaking to you right now, I invite you to come up to the altar, to kneel down and to confess your sins to God. And he'll erase them. He'll give you a fresh start today. And you'll give him thanksgiving. Hallelujah. You'll give him thanksgiving. If God's speaking to anybody in the house, don't be shy. Just come up to the altar and kneel down. Because our God is great. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just ask him to forgive you. Just confess whatever it is. And just say, Lord, I've blown it. I need your forgiveness. I haven't been a doer of the word. I may have prayed. I may have thought. I may have done it my own way. But I didn't do it your way, Lord. And I need your forgiveness, Lord, because I did it my way. Like Frank Sinatra. Forgive me, God. Forgive me for doing it my way and not doing it your way, Lord. Clean my slate, Lord. Clean my chalkboard. Erase the debt that I owe you. Oh, Lord, it's a debt I could never pay. It's a debt I could never pay you. I could never repay you the debt I owe you, Lord. I could never repay it. There's not enough money, there's not enough seed, there's not enough of anything that I could do to repay you for the mistakes I've made. Only your blood, your son died for me on the cross, your forgiveness, your mercy, Lord, your grace, because Yeshua died for me. I confess my sins and I receive your forgiveness. I receive your forgiveness. I receive your grace. Right now, right here, today, in this place, I receive your forgiveness. I receive, erase the debt I owe. Erase that debt right here, right now, Lord. Erase the debt right here, right now. Forgive me, God, for doing it my own way, for not doing it your way, Lord. Forgive me. Erase my debt. Cast my sins as far as the east is from the west, Lord. I just bring those sins to the cross. I apply them to the cross today. I nail them to that cross right now, right here in this place. God, forgive me and clean that slate right now. Erase that chalkboard and give me a fresh start. Give me a fresh start, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son who gives me, if I confess my sins, he is faithful and just to forgive me of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Everything. Everything. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. And stay as long as you want. He loves you. Friends, just because you know the Lord doesn't mean you know all his ways. God has established patterns for us to follow. There is safety in doing it his way. There's safety. There's blessing. He will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing if we do it his way. When we trying to live the messianic or Christian life our way only brings heartache and pain. Remember, Moses said, I know God. I don't need you, Moses. God opened up the ground, took Korah down, and hundreds of others with him, thousands. Following God means humbling yourself, learning to follow leaders, learning to become a servant, dying to self, putting the needs of others before your own. Say that again. Following God means humbling yourself, learning to follow leaders, learning to become a servant, dying to self, putting the needs of others before your own. And if you're watching us at home and this is speaking to you, you can get down on your knees right where you are and confess your failings and your failure, your disobedience to God, and God, tell him, ask him to forgive you all your unrighteousness, and he'll wipe your slate clean. He'll erase your chalkboard of debt, and he'll give you a fresh start this week. I promise you. I promise you. If you do it with a sincere heart, he will do that for you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jennifer. Praise God. And that is the message for today. And if you received, how many of you received forgiveness today from the Lord? Raise your hand. All right. So let's go give him thanks. Amen. And eat some turkey. Let me pray for the meal. Lord, we thank you for your grace, that you always, well, not always, but you give us many fresh starts. We can't be guaranteed that we're going to get another chance, but you give us many, many chances. Lord, thank you that you give everyone in this room today a fresh chance, and everyone on TV watching who prayed and asked for forgiveness, that you gave them all a fresh start. Lord, I pray for the meal today. I pray that you bless it to the nourishment of our bodies, and us to thy service. Sanctify it and bless our fellowship now as we go down. In Yeshua's name, we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And today is the day of thanksgiving. Even though we give you thanks every day, we thank you, thank you. And I thank you for what you've done for me and Dawn this week and what you're going to do for us in the future, Lord. I'm reminded of Harry Truman, who had a men's clothing store for 2 years and he went out of business. But then he became president of the United States 15, 20 years later. Lord, I'm not expecting to be president, but I believe you're going to do some great things with Dawn and I. We have a new journey, a new path. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Greet one another, and let's make our way downstairs. What's that? Oh, the blessing. Let me give you the blessing. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha. Vayesem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom, peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen and amen. Shabbat shalom. Thank you for coming today. I'll see you in the fellowship hall.